Luke, where Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. Now, while scholars debate how many times Jesus went to Jerusalem, Luke has Jesus traveling to Jerusalem just once. This journey of Jesus is light on geographical details, but heavy on theological issues. Luke uses the journey of Jesus to Jerusalem to instruct us on what it means and does not mean to follow Jesus on a deliberate trip that will lead to his death and his resurrection and ascension, all to redeem mankind. Luke deliberately uses imagery from the Old Testament, and specifically from the story of Elijah. The people Jesus was preaching to were well familiar with Elijah. Every Passover, they set a place for Elijah at the table. They believed that the return of Elijah would herald the coming of the long-awaited Messiah. Elijah represented the message of God to the people of God through the prophets. It was important for Luke and for Jesus to compare and, more importantly, contrast the message of Jesus with the message of Elijah. As you recall, Jesus has recently asked the disciples who the people say that he is. After telling the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Luke relates this, quote, "Once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' They answered, 'John the Baptist,' but others, 'Elijah,' and still others, 'That one of the ancient prophets has arisen.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered, 'The Messiah of God.'" End quote. Luke then has Jesus explain this, quote, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scriptures, and be killed, and on the third day be raised," end quote. Jesus then tells the disciples that they will have to deny themselves and take up their cross daily to follow him. After that passage in chapter 9 of Luke, the disciples go up a mountain to pray with Jesus, and they see him transfigured. Suddenly, two men appear with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law of God and is known as the lawgiver. And Elijah represents the prophets of God and their message. When the disciples see the three together, they're inclined to build three dwellings and worship the three. However, a voice from heaven tells them, "Listen to Jesus, saying, 'This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him.'" Consequently, we see that Jesus is not Elijah, and Jesus has a distinct message. With this journey of Jesus to Jerusalem, a journey we are invited to take with Jesus, we see that Jesus is very different from Elijah. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson from 2 Kings, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. One of two men in the Bible, the other is Enoch, who did not die. As we know, Jesus did die. And his journey to Jerusalem is a journey to his death. In today's scripture, Jesus and his disciples are traveling toward Jerusalem, and they take the route through Samaria. Now, most Jews traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem would travel down the east bank of the Jordan through a land known as Perea in order to avoid Samaria, the territory on the west bank of the Jordan. Even today, we know the antipathy the Jews have for the residents of the West Bank. But Jesus chose to travel through Samaria. When the Samaritans did not welcome Jesus because it was clear he was traveling to Jerusalem, the disciples were incensed. They suggested that Jesus call fire down from heaven to consume the offending Samaritans. This response was reminiscent of Elijah's confrontation with the prophets of Baal when he called fire from heaven. Jesus rejects the suggestion of the disciples that fire be called from heaven. Jesus' message is one of saving people, not condemning them. Jesus is not Elijah. He has a new message for a new time. Jesus then encounters three persons who would follow Jesus. The first boldly declares, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus makes a point similar to the one he made earlier about daily taking up the cross. Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Perhaps Jesus was emphasizing the lack of welcome he and his disciples had just experienced and was making it clear that a decision to follow was not without cost. The decision to follow a homeless man would entail hardship. The decision to follow the Messiah was not a decision leading to a cushy position in a future kingly administration. It was a decision to follow the suffering servant. The reference to Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem parallels the passage in Isaiah 50, verse 7, the third servant song, which says, "The suffering servant sets his face like flint," end quote. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is famous for, among other things, his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Bonhoeffer gave up an academic position in the United States and followed his call to Nazi Germany, where he died a martyr. Living as a Christian, following Jesus is not a guarantee of a smooth existence. This is further illustrated by a second person who Jesus calls and says, "Follow me." The person says, "First, let me go bury my father." Now, some commentators have suggested that Jesus' harsh response, "Let the dead bury their own dead," is because the man's father is not yet dead, and this would entail an extended time which would preclude him from following Jesus at all. We know that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not abolish it, and that the law prominently included, with the Decalogue, the command to honor your father and your mother. Regardless, following Jesus, journeying with Jesus, requires a commitment that puts God even before family. The third person Jesus encounters states, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." This sounds like a reasonable request. And in fact, Elijah acceded to a similar request by Elisha. In 1 Kings 19:19-21, quote, "So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. This passage makes it clear why Jesus responds as he does when he says, quote, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God," end quote. First, practically, plowing requires one to keep their eyes forward on the task at hand, not look back at what has been done. Furthermore, Jesus is responding differently than Elijah did. The journey to Jerusalem with Jesus is different from the journey with Elijah. Different times require a different response. This illustrates the need for context in reading the scripture. Just because Elijah called down fire from heaven in his confrontation with the prophets of Baal does not mean that is the appropriate response for Jesus. And just because Elijah allowed Elisha to say goodbye to his parents does not mean that is the appropriate response for Jesus. God expects us to journey with Jesus in the way and at the time that Jesus calls us. We are fortunate to have been called by a loving Savior who chose to travel through Samaria. We are fortunate to be called by a loving Savior who asked us to journey with Him. And as God told the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is our job to listen to Him and respond appropriately. Amen. Having heard the Word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let us stand together and say what we believe.